Today we are at the start of a new sermon series called Shine. This series is going to invite us to think about the ways in which we are called to let the light of Christ shine through us. With all that is happening in our lives and in the world these days, it can be so easy to feel discouraged. With the cold temperatures and the long nights of winter, with the latest surge in the pandemic, with the terrible end of the Patriots season, we could all use some more light these days. So throughout the weeks ahead, we are going to shine. We're going to trust that the light that was born into the world through Jesus, the light that guided the Magi to the manger, that same light is still shining in the world today. And it's shining through us. We're starting this new sermon series today by focusing on the baptism of Jesus. You might notice that every year we go from Star Sunday to Baptism of Jesus Sunday. That's because the three-year cycle of scripture readings called the lectionary always puts the story of Jesus' baptism on the Sunday after we celebrate Epiphany. The three-year lectionary rotates between the three synoptic gospels. One year we hear the story of Jesus' baptism from the Gospel of Matthew. One year we hear it from the Gospel of Mark. And the third year in the lectionary, this year, we hear the story from the Gospel of Luke. Now, Luke spends the first two chapters of his Gospel telling us about the births of John the Baptist and of Jesus. And he does that in great detail, two whole chapters. But then, with very few words, Luke transitions from the end of John's preaching mission to the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. And that transition hinges on Jesus' baptism. Now, at the beginning of chapter 3, Luke tells us that crowds of people have been gathering at the Jordan to meet John the Baptist. John was a wild-looking man preaching a fire and brimstone message, and he was inviting fellow Jews to submit to a ritual that was normally only required for Gentiles who were converting to Judaism. John was a fierce man with a frightening message, and he was making quite an uncomfortable request. Yet the crowds kept flowing out to the Jordan, and people kept getting baptized, so folks were starting to wonder whether John the Baptist might be the Messiah. But John was clear that someone more powerful was coming after him, someone who would baptize not with water, but with the Holy Spirit. Luke tells us that John's mission of preparation for the Messiah ends with his imprisonment by Herod. And then Jesus' ministry begins with his baptism. Now, after all the detail that Luke has put into the opening chapters of his gospel, he tells of Jesus' baptism in one half of one verse. So listen closely, or you just might miss it. Let's hear the story of Jesus' baptism from Luke chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, and then verses 21 through 22. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire." Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Now, on this baptism of Jesus Sunday, as we celebrate the incredible love and grace poured out by our God, it is fitting that our middle hymn is Amazing Grace. If you are worshiping from home, a link to the hymn will drop into the comments, and if you're here in the sanctuary, you'll find the hymn in your hymnals. Please be seated. And please join with me in a spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Since the start of the pandemic, we have had 44 baptisms here at Old South. The 44th was just yesterday when we baptized sweet Ava Jimenez. 44 baptisms over the past 2 years almost. That's about 20 baptisms per year, which is actually similar to the number of baptisms that we had each year in the before times. But back before the pandemic, those 20 or so baptisms would usually happen over the course of 10 Sundays each year. During the pandemic, almost every baptism has happened separately. And every single time, at the beginning of each baptismal ceremony, I've said something similar to this. In the midst of a time when so much in our lives is really, really hard, it's wonderful to have an opportunity to gather, to celebrate love and light and goodness and grace. It's wonderful to have an opportunity to gather that is strictly about joy. In the midst of our imperfect lives, in the midst of this wounded world, each one of those 44 baptisms has been an opportunity to let the light of God's love shine. And oh my goodness, we need that light. Now, when I meet with parents to prepare them for their child's baptism, I always talk with them about what baptism means for us here at Old South. Most importantly, baptism is about entering into Christian community and beginning a life of faith. It's about the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, and it's about the grace of God made known in the gift of new life. Now, this can be one of the trickiest things to understand, especially when we're baptizing little children. Why do babies need to receive the gift of new life when they haven't lived long enough yet to do anything wrong? But this baffling thing is also one of the most beautiful things about our God. God is willing to offer us the promise of forgiveness even when we are infants, even before we will need it. God loves us so much that God will promise to forgive us even before we do anything wrong. And God will promise there is nothing we can do, nothing ever, that will be able to separate us from God's love. This baffling and beautiful promise of new life also comes up when we hear Luke's account of the baptism of Jesus. Now remember, Luke has made it clear that John's baptism is tied to repentance and forgiveness. That's his fire and brimstone message. And Luke has also made it clear that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, that he is holy and perfect. So why would Jesus need to repent if he hasn't done anything wrong? Why would he need to receive the gift of new life and the promise of forgiveness? Think back to the one half of the one verse that Luke uses to tell the story of Jesus' baptism. He says, "When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too." When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. Maybe that's what Luke wants us to remember here, that Jesus was baptized with all the people, that he was baptized with people like us. Jesus presented himself for baptism as an act of solidarity with all those in need of forgiveness, with all those yearning for new life. When crowds of people who were desperate for healing and hope and love and new life, when they rushed out to the Jordan, Jesus joined them. At his baptism, Jesus identified with all the imperfect people who were worn down by living in a wounded world. He identified with all the people who needed God. Jesus was baptized not because he himself needed forgiveness, not because he himself had messed up, but because he wanted to understand fully the messy lives we lead. He wanted to show us that in the midst of the mess, we can still find new life. In the midst of the mess, we can still shine. Maybe that's one of the things Luke wanted us to remember. Now, there's another thing that's interesting about Luke's account of Jesus' baptism. You'll notice that Jesus himself doesn't actually speak. But after he's baptized, he does pray. Jesus is getting ready to begin his public ministry of teaching and preaching and healing, but first, he prays. He shows us that his ministry is sustained not just by his own gifts and abilities, but also by the practice of prayer. His ministry will be strengthened not just because of his own divine presence, but also by the power of God working in and through him. So in his baptism, Jesus shows us that imperfect people living in a wounded world can still find new life. He shows us that messy people can still shine. And then he reminds us to turn to the practice of prayer, to rely on God. He reminds us that we don't shine on our own. We shine because God is working in and through us. And maybe we need to remember that too. Now, there's one more thing that's interesting about Luke's account of Jesus' baptism. Remember that after Jesus is baptized, as he is praying, a voice speaks from heaven and says, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." Through his baptism, Jesus is ordained as the Messiah by a God who loves him and tells him that. This powerful affirmation, this calling from God, will sustain Jesus through the joys and the challenges of his ministry. No matter what comes his way, no matter how messy the world gets, Jesus will always be God's beloved Son. And through our baptisms, God makes the same promise to us. No matter how imperfect we are, no matter how messy our lives might get, we will always be God's beloved children. This powerful affirmation, this calling from God, will sustain us through whatever comes our way. And maybe we need to remember that too. Now, Luke doesn't use a whole lot of words to tell us the story of Jesus' baptism, but there is so much that we can take from these short verses. We can remember that Jesus identified with people like us, and he showed us that imperfect people who are worn down by a wounded world, they can still find new life. Messy people can still shine. And we can remember to turn to the practice of prayer, to rely on the power of God, because we don't shine on our own. We shine because God is working in and through us. We shine because we are and always will be God's beloved ones. The story goes that whenever the great reformer Martin Luther was in trouble or tormented, whenever he was tempted or afraid, he would tell himself that he was baptized. He would say, "Baptizatus sum," I am baptized. Over and over, he would remind his weary and wounded heart who he was. He was baptized. He was a beloved child of God whose life was forever connected with Christ's life. He said that those words blew the demons of doubt and despair away. Those words could make him brave. So friends, let us remember on this baptism of Jesus Sunday that our lives too are forever connected to Christ's life. And when things get rough, when we make mistakes, when our lives get messy, let us remember that we are God's beloved ones. When you need to remind your weary and wounded heart who you are, you can say to yourself, "I am baptized." Let those words blow the demons of doubt and despair away. Let those words make you brave. Let those words help you shine. Amen. Our closing hymn today celebrates this Jesus that we are connected to through the sacrament of baptism, Jesus who is the light of the world.